says you can short circuit the power and promise in your life and block the flow of blessing when you become stingy. And this is the problem for many of us today. We claim the promise of Philippians 4:19. I claim it in the name of Jesus. By faith, my God shall supply. But we haven't met the condition of verse 15 and 16. We go around quoting Philippians 4:19, but we do not qualify according to the premise. I've told you before about my friend Kofi, but let me remind you about him. Kofi was the kind of guy who never did anything for anybody. He was in the habit of waiting for others to buy him palm wine, yet he never bought any for himself. Every morning, Kofi could be found in the palm wine bar waiting for a customer to offer him some to drink. In fact, it was well known that Kofi never gave anything to anybody and that it was rather his wife who was supporting him by going to work on the farm. Well, one day, after Kofi had been in the palm wine bar, he was a little bit drunk and he was walking home alongside the river when he slipped and fell into the water. Help me! Help me! Kofi started to cry. I'm drowning! I'm drowning! Quickly, some men who were standing nearby gathered around and tried to pull Kofi out of the river. Kofi, give me your hand! The man closest to him shouted, but it was no use. Kofi appeared not to hear him at all. God was so kind. Suddenly, Kofi's wife appeared, and she saw what was happening. Don't you know my husband's character at all? She said, hey, if you say, Kofi, give me your hand, he will never hear you at all. Here, let me show you what to do. Then Kofi's wife went over close to him and said, Kofi, take my hand. And immediately, Kofi reached up and took her hand. Hallelujah. Many of us don't hear the word give at all. We only hear the word take. Tell your neighbor he's talking about you. And we wonder why God doesn't meet our needs. We think that in taking we will have our provision. But God says your provision is not in the taking, but in the giving. In fact, not only is the premise for your promise in giving, it's also a fact that how you give determines how God provides. Listen to 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 7. Remember this. Tell your neighbor, remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. In other words, God is clearly telling us that the measure of our giving will determine the measure of our receiving. How we sow will determine how we reap. This is a law of God. It's a principle that cannot be changed or broken. If you follow the law, you will walk in His provision. If you don't, you won't. Imagine a man who walks into the bank on Lagos Avenue and says to the cashier, I'd like to get some money and go. She said, oh, fine. Just tell me your account number and show me your identification. Account number, the man says, I don't have an account number. I just want to take some money and go. Well, do you want to apply for a loan? The cashier said, loan? No, I just want to take some money. I heard that banks are where you go to get money, so I came here to get money. This is a bank. I want to take money and go. The woman said, you must be mad. You don't have an account. You don't want a loan. You just want to take money. You can't take anything unless you put something in. It's ridiculous to walk into a bank and expect to take out money when you never went and deposited money in the first place. You can't withdraw money from a bank if you never put money in. And it's the same with God. Many Christians come to Him to seek His provision, but they don't even have an account in heaven. Others have an account, but they don't put anything in. And what you get out is determining what you put in. As you sow, you will reap. It's talking about giving. I didn't write it. God did. Friends, our sermon series is called The Prosperity Ladder, not The Prosperity Lift. Prosperity is not a lift you ride. It's a ladder you climb. If you believe it, say amen. Amen. If you want to go to the next level in your finance, you have to give. The premise comes before the promise. The premise works in your life because the promise works. And the good news for all of us today is that this promise works whether you're rich or poor, young or old, black or white. It doesn't matter whether you're an American, a Chinese, an Indian, or a Ghanaian. The promise of God is available to all if we meet the premise. Some of you are driving Mercedes-Benz. Others of you are using Legity-Benz. But the premise and the promise work together no matter who you are, because God works with his word according to principles. And giving works for everyone because of the promise. So turn your notes over and see our second truth today, and that is this. You've got to understand the promise. Just take your pen, fill in the blank with the word promise, and let's remember our scripture text, Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all your need. In this passage, we find a promise. God says he would meet your needs. Not some of your needs, not a few of your needs, not even most of your needs. He said, I'm going to supply all, A-L-L, all your needs. You can count on him. He will supply. God says, I will move heaven and earth to meet your needs. I will use all the resources of my eternal kingdom to work on your behalf, to arrange situations, to move on people, even against their will, to come and supply for you. For God's promise will work for everyone who meets God's premise. Listen to another promise in 2 Corinthians 9, 10 and 11. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. And I can stand boldly before you today and declare that God has said he will. There is no question, there is no doubt. He will supply seed to the sower. And if you're sowing generously into the kingdom of God and into the lives of other people today, if you're giving generously to God in his work, he says, I stand by my word. I will supply. I'm going to supply. But not only supply, he says, I'm going to increase. When you put out seed, you're going to gain a harvest, but then I'm going to give you more seed. I'm going to give you more supply that you can give again, and I'm going to enlarge you and enlarge your harvest. I'm going to meet your need and bless you beyond your imagination. So I speak to every giver in Agape House today, and I declare to you that God is going to supply you with greater seed. God is going to increase your financial ability. He's going to enlarge you as you give. I speak to every tithe-paying member of Agape House, and I declare that the heavens are opened, and God is pouring out a blessing upon you that is so great you won't even be able to contain it if you will take what he's placed in your hand and sow it by faith into his kingdom. He's going to replenish your seed and restore what you've given. You will not run out of seed. Your capital will not get finished. Your bank account will not run dry. Your harvest will surely come. If you believe it, shout hallelujah. For God is faithful to his word. That's why David could say in Psalm 37, 25 and 26, I was young and now I'm old, yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. They are always generous and lend freely. Their children will be blessed. And you can look anywhere, at any time, in any generation, you will never find a righteous man who pays his tithe faithfully and gives generously who lacked or whose children went hungry. Because God stands by his word. I've been serving the Lord Jesus Christ for more than 40 years. And by his grace, I am very careful to tithe every pesewa that I owe to God. And I give generously. And I've made it my habit and the habit of my wife and my family that we tithe every increase in our lives. And God has blessed me. And I can stand and tell you that though I am not someone that normally would have been rich, I can tell you today that God has met every need in my life. He's met every need in our ministry. There were times we needed $100,000 to finish buying a property, and God supernaturally and miraculously supplied. There's times we were stranded somewhere and needed the money for an air ticket, and God has supernaturally supplied in big ways, in small ways. The testimonies I can give of God's provision would take us until tomorrow, because God has stood by his word and blessed me as I met the conditions of his promise. But it's not just in the big ways, not just in those ways we might consider important, but I've discovered that God has also come in the small ways, in the ways that didn't seem important to anyone else, but were important to me. One of the greatest times of God's provision, one of the most miraculous provision experiences I've had, happened to my wife and I when we were newly married missionaries in Nigeria. We'd just been married for a few years. We'd been in Nigeria for about a year. And our firstborn daughter, LaDonna, was having her first birthday. And because she was our only child and it was her first birthday, we wanted to celebrate. So we invited friends and we planned and prepared a party. We got a few things ready. We waited for the day to come when we would finish our preparation. But suddenly that week, everything began to go wrong. Our car broke down and we had to spend money we didn't expect to repair it. There were unexpected bills and other people had needs. And before I knew what happened, all the money we had got finished. And I remember sitting in my flat with my wife the night before my daughter's first birthday. We'd invited people to come to the house and celebrate with us. And we had nothing in the house. I don't know about you, but those days I wasn't too, you know, I didn't have a lot of money. I was a poor missionary. And I don't know if you've ever done this, but honestly speaking, I went to my wardrobe and I began searching the pockets of my trouser, my shirt. You've done it too, huh? Some of you did that this morning. God bless you. Yeah. You know, I'm like, okay, I'm sure I left some 5 naira here, 5 naira there. I found one coin. One coin. I said one coin. Equal to 20 pesewa. Hey! I said, oh my God. No money in the bank. No friends, no family to go and ask help. Nowhere to turn. There we were, 9 o'clock at night, the day before the party. And I said, oh God, you are disgracing me today. We would drink tap water. Hey. On my daughter's first birthday, we would drink ordinary tap water. Hey. When suddenly, there was a knock on the door. I said, who is that? 9 o'clock at night in Nigeria, you're going to be afraid, oh. Sorry if you're a Nigerian, it's okay. I'm one of you, don't worry. You are here with us, we're safe now. I said, who is knocking my door 9 o'clock at night in Nigeria? Hey. I went and opened the door. There was a man there I've never seen before. He's a strange man. I said, yes, can I help you? He said, yes, I've come from Warri. That's a town about 1 hour drive, 9 o'clock at night. He said, I've come from Warri. I'm from Iberia Airlines. That's the Spanish airline. I said, yes. 6 months before, my wife and I had gone to U.S. on Iberia Airlines. We bought a ticket, and we come back. We used that airline. I said, what can I do for you? He said, please, I want to come in and discuss with you. I led him into the parlor. I couldn't believe my ears. The man sat down in the parlor and said, sir, when you bought your ticket 6 months ago, we accidentally overcharged you. You paid $290 more than you're supposed to. And I drove myself in my own vehicle from Warri 1 hour away in my own car, 9 o'clock at night, to come and return the money to you. This was money I didn't know about. Now, come on, give the Lord a round of applause. Wait. I didn't know they owed me money. They didn't call me. They didn't write a letter, please come and collect your check. They could have kept the money. The man himself could have chopped the money. I wouldn't know. Hello. I didn't know they owed me. Why that night he drove himself 1 hour to come and return $290 to me in Nigeria? Oh, hey! There's a God in heaven. If you believe it, shout hallelujah. $290 in my day, that was a big money. Oh, ho, ho. My daughter drank Coca-Cola on her first birthday. If you believe it, shout hallelujah. God's promise in your life cannot fail. God says, I will supply all your needs, big and small. I will supply those things that you are desperate for, no matter how much you have in the bank. You're rich in Christ Jesus. No matter what you're wearing today or the phone you're picking from your pocket, you are rich in Christ Jesus because He's promised to meet your needs and He will not fail you. And when you give generously, God says, I'm going to supply and increase and enlarge. So lift up your hands and shout, thank you, Jesus. Jesus. Turn your notes over to page 3 and you'll see the third truth today, and that is God's provision. You see, there's a premise. That's the condition for receiving. There's the promise. That's what God has said He will do for you. And there's the provision. For the Bible says in Philippians 4:19, according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The scripture doesn't say that God will supply out of His riches. He says He will supply according to His riches. You see, there's a difference. If I have 1,000,000 Ghana cedis and you come and ask for help and I give you 100 Ghana cedis, I'm giving you out of my abundance, a portion of it. But if I give you according to my abundance, that it means as much as I have, I'm giving you in equal share, in equal measure. It means that the more I have, the more I will give to you. The measure of my wealth is the measure of what you will receive. And what God is telling us about the provision is the measure of God's riches is the basis for the measure of what you receive. So the question for us this morning is, how rich is God? For you see, if God has an abundance that is so great and so vast, then I share in that, and His provision is according to the level of His wealth. So how rich is God? Well, what are the riches of God? Let's do a little calculation. I brought along the world-famous Agape House calculator to help us figure out how rich is God. Are you with me today? Here we go. Let's begin with the basics. Psalm 24, verse 1, the Bible says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. So let's begin with the land. Bible says God owns all the land. Nobiso. Forget land title, land survey, and all. It's God who owns the land. Let's begin right here in East Legon. Some landlords in East Legon, they're selling a plot of land for $100,000. Some are more. All right? There are 6 plots in an acre. So if you have $100,000 for a plot, 1 acre is equal to $600,000. Amen? $600,000. And how big is East Legon? How much land is there? Well, East Legon proper is about 3 square kilometers. And 3 square kilometers is equal to 1,920 acres because there's 640 acres in a square kilometer. All right? So, yeah, come on. Are you with me today? Yeah. It's my calculator. World famous. 1,920 acres times 600,000 is, oh my God. The value of the land in East Legon is approximately $1,152,000,000. That's just East Legon proper. I'm not talking, they call East Legon a Jingano and hills. No nonsense. It's just this. The value of the land in East Legon proper, 1 billion. Everybody say 1 billion. Say it with me. $1,152,000,000. And God owns it all. I tell you, He's rich. But that's just East Legon. How about Accra? How about Ghana? How many acres are there in Ghana? Well, according to the science, there are 59,943,360 acres in Ghana. So let me calculate that. 58,943,360 acres in Ghana. And let's say the value of the average value of land in Ghana is about 10,000 per acre, just as an average. And that means the value of the land in Ghana alone, if it were sold, would be 589,433,600,000 US dollars. Let's say that together. 589,433,600,000. If you sold all the land in Ghana. But that's Ghana. That's one, small country in a continent. How many acres are in Africa and Europe and Asia and India and US and North America? I'm sorry, my calculator can't figure that. And God owns it all. The Bible says He doesn't just own the land, He owns the heavens too. He owns the stars and the moon and the sun. And then it says He owns everything in the earth. All the buildings, all the banks, all the silver, all the gold, all the oil, all the farms, all the buildings. God owns it all. For Deuteronomy 10:14 says, to the Lord your God belong the heavens, even the highest heavens, the earth and everything in it. And Leviticus 25:23 reminds us, the land really belongs to me, God says. So you can't sell it for all time. You are only travelers and tenants here living for a while on my land. So when we begin to consider the value of the land and the value of the oil and the gold and the silver and the farms and the produce and the buildings and the stars and the moon in the sky and the cattle on a thousand hills, we cannot calculate the vastness of the wealth and the riches of our God. There's nothing too hard for him. He's a miracle working God. So don't mess with me, because my daddy is rich. He owns all of East Legon. He owns all of Accra and all of Ghana and all of the world and everything in it. And I believe that my provision comes out of and according to his abundance and his wealth. So don't look down. Don't be discouraged and don't doubt. God has more than enough to supply and increase and enlarge you. Somebody shout hallelujah. Because my God is a wealthy God, and he owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He owns the silver and the gold. He owns the land and the sun and the moon and the stars. And my God's abundance is able to supply everything. If you believe it, shout hallelujah. Somebody say, my God is a rich God. Lift up your hand and let your faith arise today. Lift up your hand and say, my God is a rich God. Because we serve somebody who has the whole world in his hands. We serve somebody who never lacks, who never runs dry, who never runs out. We serve a living God who's more than able. And that's God's promise for your provision. If you'll give generously, if you'll offer everything to him, he's promised to meet your needs based upon his wealth, based upon his abundance. But there's something you have to do. You have to tap in to that provision by fulfilling the premise. Many years ago, there was an old farmer living here in Ghana. He had a lot of land, but not a lot of cash. He grew sick. One day, he was about to die. He lay on his deathbed, and he called for his two sons, the only children he had. He called the two sons, and he said, sons, I'm leaving the two of you everything I own, all this vast land. I don't have much cash on hand, but I'm leaving the whole vast land to you. But I want to tell two of you something. Hidden somewhere, just beneath the surface of my land, there is a vast buried treasure. I can't remember exactly where it is, but if you search the land just under the surface, you find that vast treasure. And then he died. Well, the two sons waited for him to die, and they buried him, and then they said, we've got to find that vast treasure. We're going to clear the entire land. We're going to dig every inch of the land. So they set to work. They cleared the whole land, a vast land, acres and acres. They dug every inch of the ground, turning it over, the first meter of the land, just turning it everywhere, searching for the vast treasure. But then they came to the end of the land, and they didn't find any treasure. The younger brother said, this is a waste of time. This is useless. The old man lied. There's no treasure. You take this worthless land. I'm going to the city to make my fortune. And he left for Accra. But the older brother said, well, we've already cleared the land and we've already dug everywhere. Rather than having this effort wasted, let me plant a crop and see what happens. So the older brother remained behind and sowed a seed. And because the entire vast land had been cleared and because they had tilled the ground very well, the crop was abundant and amazing. And when he harvested it, he took it to the market and sold all the produce. On the way back, he was counting his money when suddenly he realized what the old man said was true. Just under the surface of the land, there was a vast hidden treasure. They had made the mistake of looking for a box with silver and gold and money, but the treasure in the land wasn't a box they would find. It was the potential of the harvest. And when they dug and prepared the land, when they worked and sowed the seed, they tapped into the vast treasure their dad had left them. And so it is for you and I. Just under the surface of your life, God has deposited a vast hidden treasure. It's not a box that you'll find that will suddenly make you rich overnight. It's not something that will supply so that you don't have to work for it. But if you'll dig and cultivate, if you'll sow the seed with the right preparation and the right seed, the potential of the harvest will yield abundantly and you will prosper. If all you're looking for is a means to get rich quick, you'll end up chasing a fantasy. But if you'll cultivate what God's given, if you'll sow the seed in your hand, He will open up the treasures of His goodness. You'll reap a mighty harvest of prosperity. And my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory. That's God's promise for your provision.
Worship. Hear life-changing sermons by Pastor Whitcomb.
And the Bible says all the people saw it and they lifted their hands and says, Jehovah, He's the Lord. Jehovah is the Lord. Jehovah is the Lord.
Enjoy a truly friendly experience. Join us at Agape House in East Lagoon every weekend. A warm welcome awaits you. Agape House New Testament Church, Agape Land, East Lagoon. Saturday night church from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. First Sunday service from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Second Sunday service, 10:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m.
Join us next week at this time on this station for another episode of Revelation with Reverend Richard C. Whitcomb. Revelation with Reverend Richard C. Whitcomb was brought to you by Revelation Media Ministry.